Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The pastor had dropped by the home of a member for a visit. Just before he left, their little boy came up to him and whispered, "I know a secret." Well, the pastor hoped he wasn't about to hear something that would embarrass the parents. The boy whispered, "You promise not to tell my mommy?" Pastor nodded. "Mommy's going to have a baby. But don't tell her. Me and Daddy are going to surprise her." Right. Every day, all over the world, thousands of women are surprised, or startled, in fact, to hear those words, "You are going to have a baby." Now, for most couples, that's a wonderful surprise, good news that brings joy to the mother and father. For others, however, it can be a troubling and upsetting message. 2,000 years ago, there was a young unmarried woman in the town of Nazareth who was startled by the news that she was going to have a baby. At first, she was startled by the appearance of an angel who told her that she had found favor with God. Mary was stunned. Why was she, an ordinary young woman from humble circumstances, receiving this special favor and blessing from God? And then the angel shared even more incredible news. "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus," which means Savior. She was to be the mother of the promised Savior. By that time, she must have been speechless, but still she managed to ask the angel the most obvious question: "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be the Son of God." By this time, Mary must have been in shock. Can you imagine the kind of questions that must have flooded through her mind? How would Joseph, her fiancé, react? What would her parents think? And what would the gossips in the village say about her? And then there were the deeper spiritual questions, such as, how could she, an imperfect, sinful person, give birth to the perfectly holy Son of God? Could it really be true that God had chosen her to be the human instrument through which the promised Savior would come into the world? How would you have responded if you had been Mary or Joseph? Would you have believed the message of the angel? Would you have responded as Mary did that day, or as Joseph later did when an angel appeared to him in a dream? They both responded with a humble and trusting faith in the word and promise of God. Or would you maybe have responded the way their relative Zechariah did when an angel announced to him 6 months earlier that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a baby in their old age? He, in effect, said to the angel and to God, "Oh, there's no way. That's not possible." What about you? How do you respond when God asks something special of you? How do you respond when Jesus comes to you and challenges you to grow in your faith and in your commitment to him and his mission? How do you respond, perhaps, if he challenges you to return to the faith? Or if he challenges you to do something for your church or community or beyond, something that seems difficult or even impossible. If you say, well, that's not just possible, I'm too old, I'm in my 80s, or I'm too busy, I'm so stressed right now I can't take on anything else, there must be somebody else who's better suited for the task. Fully committing our heart and our life to the service of our Savior requires a change. A change of heart. A change of priorities. It really requires a miracle. The miracle of faith. That first Christmas required a miracle. Three miracles, in fact. In one of his Christmas sermons, based on this scripture text, Martin Luther said that there are three miracles that we discover in this encounter between the angel and Mary. The first, Luther said, is the miracle of the incarnation, God taking on human flesh and blood and combining his divine nature with our human nature, so that God came to earth on that first Christmas in the person of Jesus Christ. He came so that he could get very close to us and be our understanding brother, as well as our forgiving Lord and our eternal Savior. The second miracle of Christmas is that the Christ child was born of a virgin. Never in the history of the world, Luther said, has a child been conceived without the aid of a human father. But the Bible assures us that Mary's child was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we confess in the Apostles' Creed, so that this child truly would be the Son of God. Sadly, a recent survey of Christians found that less than half of the Christians surveyed believed in the virgin birth of Jesus. But it is still the truth, because with God, nothing is impossible. The third miracle of Christmas, Luther said, is that Mary believed all that the angel told her. She believed the impossible could happen, because she believed the word and promises of God to be trustworthy and true. That is the miracle of faith. And had she not believed, Luther said, she could not have conceived. But Mary responded to this astounding message of the angel with a humble and trusting faith. I am the Lord's servant, she said. May it happen to me just as you have said. Luther concluded his sermon with these thought-provoking words. The last of these miracles is not necessarily the least. That's the miracle of faith. What a wonder and blessing it is to know that God has given us this gift of faith, that we have received the grace and favor of God through the Holy Spirit at work through our baptism into Christ and our trusting faith in him. Yes, the Holy Spirit is the one who has created and nurtured in our heart and soul and mind the miracle of faith. Like Mary, you and I may feel unworthy of receiving the grace and favor of God. But that's precisely why our Heavenly Father sent his Son into our world, because he loves you with a love so deep and strong that he was willing for his Son to suffer and die for you in order to pay for all of your wrongs and failures, and so that you could live with him in his family now and forever. That is the true and enduring message of Christmas. God's wonders in our lives may not seem all that special by the standards of this world, but isn't it a wonder of God's love that He chose ordinary people like you and you and me to be His servants, to be ambassadors of His good news out there in the world where we live and work and worship? Is it not a wonder of God's grace that despite all of our flaws and faults and failures, we are considered worthy to be called children of God and to be heirs of His heavenly blessings? Is it not a miracle that our loving and forgiving Savior promises to stick with us and stay with us no matter what, all the way from here to eternity? It is the wonder of God's amazing grace that moves us to sing and pray from the heart each Christmas. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.